Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. 13th Sunday after Trinity, Good Samaritan Sunday. Are you a good Samaritan? Do you want to be a good Samaritan? The moral of the story is usually as far as anyone gets with Jesus' parable. To the individual who wanted to know who his neighbor was, to the individual who wanted to justify himself. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 790, as we heard in our prelude, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Following that hymn, we'll follow divine service setting 3, page 184 and following. In our bulletin, the propers are on the inside. The readings for the day are on the back page. Brief outline of the service is on the edge. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we live our lives in this sin-filled world. And there are many times when we feel beaten, neglected, wounded, traumatized, left bleeding, at least figuratively, half dead on the side of the road. We thank you for your love, your compassion, in the gift of our Good Samaritan, Jesus, who has noticed us, picked us up, bound our wounds, paid the price for our healing, and promises to return. Heavenly Father, help us each and every day to know that we are not abandoned by you, but we have been loved with an everlasting love in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior, our Good Samaritan, Jesus. It's in his powerful and precious name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 790.
Praise the Lord, the Almighty. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Please stand as you're able. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
And on earth peace will. The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you have promised. Make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to the heavens. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Melshilamoth, Jezekiah, the son of Shallum, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt." For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And all the men who have been mentioned by name rose and took the captives. And with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed for the day.
You are a God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 3. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one. "And to your offspring, who is Christ," This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scriptures imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Now, which of these, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, sovereign and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue now with the hymn of the day, hymn 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, 683.
O Lord, open our ears that we may hear, our eyes that we might see, our hearts that we might believe. our lips that we might declare your praise. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and redeemer. Amen. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. The parable of the Good Samaritan. It's one we've heard all our lives. It's one of the first stories we learn in Sunday school. We already know the moral of the story. We are to be compassionate, show kindness, and to help those in need. Here endeth the lesson. Or, so we'd like. What more, then, can we possibly learn about this story? What more, then, can we possibly glean from this overused parable? May God forgive us for our despisal of His holy word, thinking that the well has run dry, when in fact, this is the pure font of Israel, from which ever flows streams of living water. What is your definition of compassion? Does it bring to mind other positive words? Love, mercy, kindness, empathy, and so on? A good definition that I found was that compassion is a strong feeling of sympathy towards another stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. The very feeling of compassion should drive us to act compassionately. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. In our gospel lesson today, it is the Samaritan that exhibits this trait, this action. Let's take a moment to consider the fact that it is a Samaritan that acts compassionately. In the time of Christ, Samaritans were reviled, despised, abhorred. Samaritans, the result of the poorest of the poor being left behind after a serious conquest of the northern kingdom and intermarrying with foreigners, they were considered heretics and half-breeds. A good Israelite wouldn't dare be found in the company of a Samaritan if he could help it. Conversely, there was no love lost between Samaritans and Jews. The Samaritans believed that the Jews worshipped on the wrong mountain, and that the Jews believed in things which the books of Moses spoke nothing about. All in all, it was a pretty equal hate-hate relationship. And so, here we have it. A Samaritan helping a Jew. This man on the road, beaten, stripped, robbed, and left for dead. This man is now at the mercy of the one whom he was taught to despise, and likely did despise. Already he has been ignored by a priest and a Levite, his fellow countrymen and heirs of the covenant. Indeed, listen, Jesus says they passed him by on the other side. They went out of their way to avoid his stench of uncleanliness. You see, for the priest to touch a dead body would render him ritually unclean, unfit for service in the temple. And the Levite, as the priest's assistant, certainly wouldn't want to violate the law either, lest he spread the impurity of a corpse to himself and others. Whether out of concern for sanctity or otherwise, the priest and the Levite did not reach out to help the wounded and dying stranger, though they were all sons of Jacob. Their need to be pure, to utterly keep the letter of the law, stayed their hands from acting in mercy and kindness. Beloved, the law of God alone itself cannot save, for by the works of the law, no one is made pure in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 5 teaches us, evil may not dwell with you. And Psalm 68, as wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. So then, who are you? Who am I? Are we the priest concerned with keeping ourselves pure enough to offer sacrifice before God? Are we the Levite concerned with utterly maintaining the law so as not to screw it up for everyone else? True enough, we can be both these two, ignoring the cries of the poor and the needy for our own benefit, whether supposedly religious or otherwise. But no. Today I tell you, you are the man who has been robbed, beaten, stripped, and left for dead. The hymn tells us, in Adam's fall, all mankind fell. It is not enough that we are born into a world that no longer manifests God's good and holy intentions. It is not enough that we are born infected by sin. No, Satan, his demons, and our own sinful nature are all guilty of gluttony and wrath, for they will stop at nothing until they have destroyed and devoured everything that in the beginning the Lord called good. Most of all, you. Our wicked foes have mortally wounded us with sin, have stripped and robbed us of the dignity of God's image, and have left us as corpses to be plucked apart by scavengers. Truly, we are born dead in our trespasses. And so then, here we are. You, a dying corpse on the side of the road, and a Samaritan come to save you, the one whom it is in your very blood to hate and despise. What benefit does this Samaritan, hated and reviled, help for having the wounded man, have for helping you? Our text tells us, he had compassion. Compassion, that feeling of one's heart going out to another and moving to give them aid and assistance. This Samaritan has no apparent benefit or reward. He acts to relieve this suffering out of the goodness of his own heart. If this man could have done or said anything to pick himself up, he certainly would have tried. Because no one wants to be helped by their worst enemy. If we could save ourselves, we certainly would try, because by nature, we do not want God's grace. But whatever else this wounded corpse of a man might have done, it matters not. Jesus, the true Good Samaritan, nevertheless acts and shows mercy to your poor soul. He went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. The law alone cannot save. It only sets up boundaries between people and between God and man. Our epistle today told you as much, but the scriptures imprisoned everything under sin. But our Good Samaritan has no such misgivings about your purity and uncleanliness. Christ, our Good Samaritan, acts to lift up your wounded and decaying heart. The parable mentions the binding up of wounds. Make no mistake, friends. Satan does not seek to count his losses. He is high stakes, all in, playing to win as much as he can. The devil is not content to exercise dominion over fallen angels. No. He seeks your death and damnation and will stop at nothing and will use whatever means at his disposal until he has killed you in both body and soul. What wounds, what trauma have you endured in your life. Abuse by someone you thought your friend. Betrayal and abandonment by a spouse or family member. The death or suicide of loved ones. Chronic illness. Financial hardship. Pandemic and plague. Beloved, the list of wounds we receive in this life stretches as far as your imagination will go. And no matter how far down the sands of time we travel, there are wounds in this lifetime that we can never heal. No matter what treatment made by man we use, we are left with scars on our bodies, in our hearts. Oh, my people, God has heard the cries of your suffering. The Almighty has heard your gasps of pain and wheezing for breath. Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, despised and rejected by men, has come to your aid and assistance. He will not avoid you in your sin, in your death. The Word who made heaven and earth has become the Word made flesh that He might bear your griefs and carry your sorrows. He hides the wounds of your sin in His wounds, in His pierced hands, His feet, His side. He anoints your head with oil that your sins of thought, of word, and of deed might be healed by the unction of His grace. He has poured out for you as wine His precious blood, that your heart might be glad in the cup of His salvation. Cast all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. But our Savior is not content to leave you bandaged and on the highway looking to hitch a ride. No, far from it. The parable itself tells us. Then He set him on His own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day He took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Jesus does not administer you first aid and then let you be, only to be jumped again by the hosts of hell in this evil world. No, Jesus gives you new life in His death and resurrection. And He carries you Himself into a place of rest. He puts you up in the inn called church and has paid for your stay here. He has purchased your redemption, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and with His innocent, bitter suffering and death. And His word of repayment is as good as gold. For Christ has already shown Himself able to pay out what is owed when He offered His life on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And because He said He would rise, and He did, His promises are vindicated and true. Having received then so great a salvation by so surprising a Savior, what then are we to do? The lawyer's answer to Jesus was technically correct. Love the Lord your God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. But where he was wrong is that he sought to justify himself and to limit his love. Brothers and sisters, we confess, as does the epistle 1 John, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God the Father has redeemed the entire world in His Son, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for you, for me, and for the sins of the whole world. If then our Lord has wrought such a marvelous salvation, if then, as our gradual proclaims, you are the God who works wonders, you have made known your might among the peoples, then everyone is your neighbor. Even and especially those who you don't like. Therefore, hear the words of Jesus encouraging you to compassion, trusting alone in His compassion. You go and do likewise. Beloved, we have heard the word of God. We have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and of His great compassion for us. And now soon we shall ascend unto the altar of our God and receive from it here in the incalled church the medicine of immortality, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which will strengthen you in both body and soul until that glorious last day when our good Samaritan returns for us to take us at last to that eternal dwelling place where no longer will sin or Satan wound you. Hear then what words of grace our Lord Jesus speaks to you who hear His gospel and receive His sacrament. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He who sings prays twice. Therefore, friends, let us pray a third time, knowing that our good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, has saved us and is coming again for us, His beloved, so very soon. In suffering be Thy love my peace, in weakness be Thy love my power, and when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be Thou my rod and staff to guide and draw me safely to Thy side. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for the singing of the offertory and the service of the sacrament.
Service continues with the prayer of the church. In addition to those prayer requests listed in the news and notes, we have two additional prayer requests. We pray for Jim Cather dealing with some health issues, and we also pray for Char Froy, friends of the Van Valkenburg, who is having surgery this week. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to You for all Your goodness, and we bless You for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of all of our sin. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of life that is to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives wholly given into your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel, both here at home as well as in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we can lead peaceful lives with integrity. Grant health and favor to all of those who bear office in our land, especially our president and congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, our mayor and city council members, and all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve your people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in peace. Prosper the labor of those who work hard to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in their baptismal grace and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Char, Jim, Barb, Vern, Roger, Andy, David, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Lynn, Mildred, Brenda, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near, and bring consolation to those who mourn, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All of these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to
it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Depart now in peace and joy. Sins are forgiven. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing together the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is the Common Doxology. Please remain standing.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Pray that the good news of the Good Samaritan would be a blessing for you today and always. I noticed we didn't get all the baggies given away in the first service, Pastor. You want to, now that you have a microphone this service,
yeah,
you want to explain what those are and what that's all about.
For our college students, we want to give you kind of a little welcome gift full of ramen noodles and other staples for college life. And so those are back there on the table. Feel free to grab one. I know a lot of them are home for Labor Day weekend. They'll still be out there next week to distribute as well. But college students, grab a goodie bag and take it home with you to your dorm. And there's also business cards out there if you'd like our pastor, our numbers and contact information, grab that as well. Also then we send out Survey Monkey to the college students. Hopefully most of you got it. And so it looks like Sunday evening, evenings at the district office is a preferred time for college Bible study, and so not next week, but hopefully the next week after that, I'll try and get that arranged, and we'll get that started then in 2 weeks, hopefully, God willing. So that's in the process.
We want to thank everybody who donated and organized, Lorraine who made the bags, all of that. We've had lots and lots of college students with us every week this year, 30 or 40 or more every week. And so thanks be to God for that special opportunity to bring the word, pass that word, grab a bag of goodies so Pastor Poppy doesn't have to eat it all, or at least be tempted by it during the week. Good Shepherd News and Notes, all the activities, events, and the days and weeks ahead are on the table. If you didn't get those when you came in, please grab a set on the way out. And we've been keeping the news and notes for 2 weeks because we know that with the crazy times that we're in, not everybody can or is able to be in church each week. And so we've got two of those. This last Wednesday night, we had our first midweek class. It was the time when we have the parents and the students together. We do have an audio recording of that for any parents that couldn't make it for that class. We had a great turnout. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, will be our first official class with teachers and students only. We're waiting to see what our final numbers will be. We want to make sure that we do the social distancing thing and keep everybody safe. As of right now, it appears that Pastor Moline's class, which is Old Testament Bible stories this year, will be in the fellowship hall. I think my numbers will be such that we can still meet in room 109. If we do get a little too tight or too cramped in there, we'll meet here in the sanctuary. Choir is meeting after church this year instead of before church on Wednesday nights, so there won't be an issue or won't be a conflict with that. Today we started Sunday school openings for kids, and it's basically choir singing songs and in preparation for family Bible study. Family Bible studies in the fellowship hall. We have all the tables socially distanced. We've got extra rooms in the back with closed circuit TV, and the kids can come and sing a little bit and then meet up with moms and dads for our family Bible study. That family Bible study is available on YouTube as well. YouTube as well. Well, today was the first time out of the gate for Vicar. I guess this service technically was the second time out of the gate for Vicar. But good job for first time. I see we have some extra folks here today. You want to introduce us? We know Amy and Winry, but who are the rest of these folks, Vicar?
The rest of these folks, that is my mother who flew in from Arizona. Fun fact, she didn't know I was even preaching, so good for her. And then also to the rest of the pew are very close family friends that I grew up with pretty much my entire life, and so they decided to come out and decide whether I needed to be tomatoed or not after the service.
Speaking of that, we have two boxes of tomatoes. I'm not kidding. You said it, Vicar.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we have two boxes of tomatoes and a box of squash that members brought in. And so as you leave today, don't throw them at the Vicar. We have two pastoral supervisors to take care of that. But people were generous, brought some extra goodies in. If you would like some, need some, whatever, just help yourself. There should be some bags out there, too, if your arms aren't large enough for that. But good job, Vicar. Welcome. It was great to have you with us. And we're about 6 weeks in on a 12-month vicarage, and so pray. That's all I can say. So, no, he's doing great. He's doing great. Pastor, anything else?
The only other thing I'd say is don't throw tomatoes at the pastors either.
Yeah. Or at each other or anybody else. Tomorrow's Labor Day. We pray God's blessings and especially for peace in our land tomorrow. And we hope and pray that some of the volatile things that have been happening would just go away by the grace of God. office will be closed on Monday. We'll be back here on Tuesday. Have a great and blessed holiday and life under the care of the Good Shepherd.
You have been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, with Pastors Clint Poppy and Adam Moline. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship, witness, nurture, and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 or 10:30, Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evening worship at 6:30 with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located on South 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.thecross957.org. If you would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Moline at 402-423-7639.